The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scarcely been in a better mood for a Donnie Football Friday. Gwen Gold opening the show, Donnie. Do you know her? She works right in the back here.
Yeah, she does a very good job. Very talented.
I am so excited for some reason today. Well, I know the reason. Because it's Steelers-Browns in a revenge game in which the Steelers are going to smash their faces in, Donnie. And I'll tell you all about why today. You may disagree with that. But first, I'd be remiss not to check in with your well-being, as well as Austin Bechtold to my left, who's been battling a sinus problem, and quite gamely, I might add, if not smartly, all week. How are you?
I am very good, Joe. I'm pumped for a football Friday. I got to be able to match your energy, and I know Pomp will be joining us in a little bit here.
Yeah, I'm the team leader for now until Pomp gets here, and I know that people feed off my energy. I'm up for the game, Donnie.
I love it. Because I kind of feel the same way you do about Sunday, but we'll get to that. Limits, were you able to get to the pharmacist yesterday?
Yeah, I did get to the pharmacist, talk to the pharmacist, and I think I'll be taken care of.
Donnie, has a pharmacist ever called your show in the afternoon?
I don't think so. I used to work at a CVS, though, a couple of years ago when I was still part-time here.
I would
work in the mornings.
In the pharmacy or in the aisles? Clean up in aisle five, Donnie?
Mostly that. Mostly like the front part of the store. Yeah. But there were times where the pharmacy was like shorthanded.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, we need you to go back there and like just, you know, do the phone thing. And
oh, my God. Weren't administering shots or injections?
No. Okay, no. I basically just got like the bag. You ever see how they're all like in that little area?
Yeah, the little white bags. Yeah, the little white bag.
I'd go grab those like.
Now, was there ever a horrifying cleanup in a CBS or CVS? One time, well, my daughter peed in one of those places right in the aisle when she was little.
Okay, yeah, I imagine she was very young.
Very young, yeah. Anything like that?
No, nothing that bad, fortunately for me. Yeah. I'm sure it's happened million times, but...
Limits, how are you? Give us something more than that. You seem depressed again. Come on, we got to be up for this game.
Here we go again, Donnie.
I know.
Joe just
His energy
creating
has not
a
been
narrative.
There. His energy has not been there.
Joe
I understand
loves to
why.
Create a narrative.
It's a sinus problem this week,
so
Donnie.
So untrue.
An untreated sinus problem. This guy had sinus issues, and all he was doing was drinking tea. So I had to make a plea yesterday. Can somebody give this man medication? And an actual pharmacist called the show.
And he has a couple big ball games to call this weekend.
I know.
A couple big Baldwin
Hoops
games,
Are you ready for that,
I
Limits?
Believe.
I will be ready, yes. I'm excited for it.
I certainly hope you will be. I forgot what else I was going to... Oh, of course. Part-time Pomp will be joining us today at approximately 10:30, 10:45, Donnie. This is going to be even bigger than usual. It's going to be a Donnie Football Friday with Bob. I believe that he had to do a Bill Cowher interview today for television. So, of course, we understand that, and I'd be looking forward to hearing from Bob about how that interview went, because I think that Cowher, either today or tomorrow, is interviewing Russell Wilson. Everybody's interviewing each other before this game, Donnie. So that should be interesting. Here's where we begin. Couple headlines. that stood out to me as we head toward Christmas, as we head toward the biggest games of all. And they were these. T.J. Watt telling a podcast, the name of which I'll come up with in a minute, that it's a thorn in his side ever since he got here that he hasn't won a playoff game. That's headline number one that stood out this week. Headline number two is Steelers have a clean injury report in December. Those are both sort of together in what I'm thinking today, Donnie. Here's my theme. The stars are aligning for guys like Mike Tomlin, who hasn't come anywhere near a playoff win. All the love for Tomlin we're seeing. Some of it over the top, I might add. Not for him as a person or, you know, as a leader, that stuff is all, you know, legit. We saw it on Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
But his coaching in recent years, not this year, he's doing a good job so far. We haven't even hit the big games. His coaching in recent years leaves a lot to be desired, despite what the Michael Silvers and Mike Florios of the world might tell you. Mike Tomlin has presided over, or he did, over the most games in NFL history in the playoffs, giving up 40 points. That was his defense. Hasn't even been competitive in a playoff game in 7 long years. So get it done this year. The stars are aligning. It's also fair, however, in fitting with this theme, to mention that Tomlin has been cursed by injury in big moments. He has. He went out to Denver without Le'Veon and Mr. Big Chest 1 year. Another home playoff game against Baltimore. No Le'Veon. Went to a Super Bowl without Marquise Pouncey. He lost Ryan Shazier 1 year. He lost Bud Dupree in 2020. The stars are aligning this year. The Steelers are healthy. The biggest games are ahead. They're talented. They're healthy. They have a quarterback. They presumably have a great coach, is what I hear. So this is it, Donnie. This is the time this year. T.J. Watt is 30. He's telling outlets that I've never won a playoff game, and he's right. Guys who play for the Cardinals and the old Lions and the Bears, oh my, they tell people when they're 30 years old, yeah, I've never won a playoff game. Nobody says that for the Pittsburgh Steelers, except it's true. Through no fault of his own, this guy has never won a playoff game. Minkah Fitzpatrick is 28, going on 100, mostly because he sacrificed his body for the cause here. He's played 100 games. He's never been part of a playoff win. Cam Hayward is 35. He's played 200 NFL games. He's been part of one, count them, one playoff win. It's time, man. And here's the real point, Donnie. Before I throw the mic over to you. If it doesn't happen this year, then when? The Steelers have young talent. I get it. I don't know what Russell Wilson's future is at his age. I don't know that they're ever going to be healthy again. I don't know if they're going to be healthy after this gauntlet they're going to run through of 3 games in 10 days coming up. But right now, for this game with the Browns and moving down into the stretch, they're healthy. They're talented. They have a quarterback. It's time, and I think it's going to begin with an absolutely skull-splitting win over the Browns. I think they're going to hammer this team. Donnie, the floor is yours.
To add on to the playoff injury lack of luck that Mike Tomlin has had, he also had to play last season, whether or not that would have mattered too much, but T.J. Watt didn't play in that game against Buffalo, and we know the splits record-wise when he does. Joe, I'm on your side here. Now, we can also debate in a little bit where we draw the line of, does it just have to be one playoff game? Do they need to make a legitimate playoff run? But I do agree, because a lot of what people will say, former players will say it a lot, former coaches will say it a lot, sometimes it doesn't matter who the best team is late in the season. It matters who the healthiest team is late in the season. Think of an example, the game that you probably watched last night, another very good Thursday night football game.
Spectacular.
The Lions have, I think, 13 guys on the injured reserve. So that might be a team, as fun as they are, as much as I'm outside of the Steelers rooting for that team to win, because I think that the Lions have taken over that lovable loser sort of moniker, and now they're actually a great team. They may run into trouble because they'll hit the playoffs and maybe there's a team healthier than them that they meet. But It is true. You look up and down the injury report. The only guys, the only reason guys missed practice for any reason yesterday was rest. Like Cam Hayward, he didn't practice, rest. A lot of the guys you see on here, rest. But Calvin Austin back. Montrevious Adams, who's kind of an underrated part of that defensive line, he's back. Alex Highsmith, the big one, he's back. The Steelers are 6-0 with Highsmith in the lineup this season, by the way, and it looks like he'll be back and ready to go for Sunday. But, Joe, that's where, even though I agree, I think they are going to obliterate the Browns. And I'm almost worried because it feels like a lot of people are starting to feel that way. You feel that way. I think Pony feels that way. I've seen other people say that they feel that way. I'm almost now fearful that we are so confident they are going to kick ass on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's going to be a slog, a rock fight, and they barely get out with a win, or hell, they even lose again, although they haven't been swept since like 1988 by the Browns.
Right.
But I do agree. They have to make a statement here in this game. Whether the Browns are the record they are, or they're, you know, complete flip of that, and they're a playoff team, you have to go in, take care of business, win this game, get set for the big dogs that you have coming down your schedule, because there are some huge matchups on the way, and those are the types of teams in the final month of the season you will be seeing in January.
Do you agree that with the bigger picture story that this is, if not now, then when? If not this year, then when for TJ? TJ Watt, again, through no fault of his own, I want to be very clear about that, is in danger, and I've heard Pony say this, and I agree, he's in danger of becoming this generation's Dick Butkus, like a legendary defensive player who not only never wins a championship, he never wins a playoff game? Like, how is that possible for a guy that great to be 30 years old and be telling people, man, it's a real thorn in my side that I've never won a playoff game? And I would say one of the things you can point to, honestly, as much praise as he's getting right now, deserved for this year so far, is his coach has screwed up some seasons. He has. The coach is the guy that drafted Kenny Pickett. The coach, and make no mistake about that, by the way, for people who think Kevin Colbert out the door left Tomlin a parting prize of, hey, here's your quarterback for the next 10 years. That was Tomlin's decision, and it was Tomlin's decision to bring in Matt Canada, to double down on Matt Canada, to triple down on Matt Canada. And as I said, it was Tomlin's defense because he, I think, in certain years, overreached with his powers and tried to do too much. He took over defenses. He was the de facto coordinator. Make no mistake about this either. He was the defensive coordinator of teams that set an all-time NFL record for most games in a row, giving up 40 points in the playoffs. They got destroyed every time. And that would include last year, by the way. If Josh Allen wanted 80, he could have had 80 in that game. So Tomlin has presided largely over defenses that have set NFL history in all the wrong ways in the playoffs. So to me, he's a big reason why TJ Watt has reached 30 and not won a playoff game. Minka's sitting here at 28. Like I said, his body's going on 100, it would seem. And I praise him for that because he's broken his body for the good of the cause. But I don't know how many years Minka has left at the top of his game. Some would say he's not at it right now anyway. And then there's Cam, who is somehow at 35 at the top of his game. How many more chances, Donnie? I say, if not now, then when? Not totally writing off the Steelers in future years because they've had some nice drafts, things like that. Mm-hmm. But these guys are getting old. I don't know who the quarterback's going to be, things like that. If not now, then when?
If you notice, too, in the offseason, they flipped the script compared to what they normally do. Think of how many things they did that caught us off guard, caught us by surprise, and really by pleasant surprise. It seemed like whether it was Mike Tomlin or Omar Khan, Andy Weidel, or all the way at the top, Art Rooney, too, there was some sort of concoction there amongst that group, amongst the front office, that said, you know what, we've sat back on our laurels forever just saying we're the Pittsburgh Steelers, we are the picture of stability around the league, but we have to change something up here. We can't just go on as business like usual and just think because we're the Steelers, we will eventually get to where we want to be. We have to modernize the way we do things. We have to change things up a little bit. I mean, in the past, they would have never parted ways with a quarterback after year two, no matter how bad. They would have never shown interest in not just one, but two free agent quarterbacks or guys that were on the trade block like they did with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. They threw money at an inside linebacker. Now, not that they haven't done that before because they do love that position. They always have. But they bring in Patrick Queen from a division rival. They get rid of a player, a receiver that they see as a poison to the team. They bring in a guy who, even though we had our doubts about him at the time, he is tied for the AFC lead in interceptions while the receiver they got rid of is working his way out of football.
Backwards.
They have done so many things differently than what they're used to doing. It was a breath of fresh air at the time, and now it seems to be paying off. And I agree with you because they have guys who are now plus the age of 30 that you can't guarantee they'll look as good next year as they do right now. I mean, Cam Hayward has aged like a fine wine on the football field. That guy has gotten better basically after 30 in a position where that should not happen. Russell Wilson looks like he did 5 to 10 years ago.
Yeah.
TJ Watt, still a very, very good elite player, but he's over 30 years old, or he's at 30 years old. So you have to start thinking about that in the back of your mind of, hey, you know, we have some really good players here, but things are ticking away.
You reminded me of a couple of things, Donnie, and that was very well stated. That's why we lift all them weights, and that's why we pay Donnie all the money he makes here for Donnie Football Fridays. 412-928-9370, 928-9370. If I had to whittle all of this down into two statements, it would be these. What you've said, what I've said today. It's a blight on the franchise that they have an all-time great defensive player who's 30 years old and has never won a playoff game. That is a blight on the franchise. They haven't built a team good enough around him to even be competitive in a playoff game since Watt got here? Are you kidding me? Or coached in such a way, or wherever you want to place the blame, it's a blight on the franchise. And the second one is this, Donnie. This is turning into a magical season. That's the feel. And you got to harness the magic when you have one of those, because they don't come around too often, especially for a team whose best players are 30 or, in Wilson and Hayward's case, 35, 36 years old. It's just turning out that way. I hope that they're healthy after this ridiculous gauntlet of games that begins next week. That the NFL should be ashamed of making anybody play. And it's not just the Steelers, it's other teams this year. That's an embarrassment to a league that claims it's interested in player health to put you through three games in 10 days. That's a story for another day.
There are a few teams that have to go through that too.
Baltimore's one. Yeah, Kansas City, I think, is one. It's embarrassing for the league. Point being, overall, this is shaping up because of health, because of a star out of nowhere in Russell Wilson, other factors, as a magical season. And when you get one of those, when you're blessed with one of those, you have to harness the magic, because you never know when you're going to get another one. Seen, I could name 100 examples in sports of that, where, you know, the Buffalo Bills, they were the best team in football the year that they went into Kansas City and lost in the final 13 seconds. Mm-hmm. They didn't harness the magic. Now it looks, surprisingly, because this was not supposed to be this year for them, like they're getting another one here, maybe another chance. But man, I think they were the best team that year. They didn't take advantage of it, and they may forever regret that. I'm not saying the Steelers are the best team, but I'm saying that, man, are the stars aligning. When I look up in December and I see clean injury report, Corey Trice is back, for God's sakes. And all the other things that have happened this year, it's time, Donnie. 412-928-9370. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We have so many treats limits, I've lost track of them all. We have Ray Fittipaldo coming up at the top of the hour. We have Nick Costos at noon breaking down the games We have a numbers game coming up here, Donnie, that's going to just blow the roof off the place. My first number is absolutely incrinculant. And then we have a bunch of topics to get through. Bob is on his way in. He interviewed Bill Cowher. I want to ask him about that. Mostly, though, for now, I want to ask if you agree. If you agree that it's time for the Steelers around T.J. Watt to win a playoff game. It's time for T.J. to win a playoff game. Cam Hayward to win his second, Minkah to win his first, Mike Tomlin to be competitive in one for the first time in 8 years. To be competitive in one for the first time in 8 years. It's time. And I think going into this game, a lot of this is going to begin. Maybe it began a little bit last week where they proved they can win a different kind of game. I think this week in a revenge game with a healthy team, with the energy that I sense around town, that the Steelers are absolutely going to smash the Browns. Do you? 412-928-9370. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. Personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Our six-pack brought to you by Bet365. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. I might also add that once Bob gets in, we're either going to do a draft of Cleveland Browns players since 99. Would that be fun, Donnie?
Oh, that would be a blast.
Is Myles Garrett automatically the first pick? Do you win the draft? Or
I don't know if I'd say you automatically win the draft.
Joe Thomas might be the first pick. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you got two. You got one guy in the Hall of Fame. You got another probably on his way.
Does Josh Cribbs get drafted there?
Man, he was a fun player to watch.
Was he ever?
Kent State. The Golden Flash.
Does Thaddeus Lewis go in this draft?
How about Connor Shaw?
Who are some of the other ridiculous quarterbacks?
Oh, my goodness.
I heard you guys yesterday. Who was the veteran quarterback who won the game in 99? Was it Dilfer?
Dilfer, no, Dilfer was their quarterback in 05. He lost. They had Jeff Garcia in 04, who I actually thought was like a nice player.
Who won the game in 99 for them? They won here in 99. You guys were talking about it yesterday.
Yeah, and I know Couch came in here in 03 and won the game.
I know, but that's not 1999, Donnie. We have to remember this before we go here. I have to remember this.
All right,
I have it right here. They came to Pittsburgh. They won 16-15.
What a slog.
Tim Couch.
Okay, so it was Couch. He got it done twice.
Wow. I don't even remember that game. The Brownies scored 9 points in the fourth quarter to beat Cowher. I wonder if Bob asked Cowher about that.
Do you remember who the Browns running back was in that game?
No, well, not without looking at the box. Well, let me take a guess. Bill Green came later on, right?
William Green, yeah, he was later on. Very notable name, but not for football. I'll give you that clue.
Not for football? Was O.J. retired by then? Who was it?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
He played for the Dolphins for most of his career, right? Oh, my God.
Yep.
And I wonder if Bob asked Cowher about trying to stop Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with a box and one that day. That's unbelievable. Who was the Steelers? Who was the Steelers' leading rusher in that game?
Bettis.
Who was the second leading rusher?
I have it up here, Cordell. And then Richard Huntley got four carries for 12 yards.
I used to work with Josh Miller here. Josh said there was a famous fight with Richard Huntley and Earl Holmes, the linebacker, Donnie. Have you ever heard of this?
No, I don't know the fight.
They were throwing chairs in the locker room, throwing chairs. And Josh Miller said he hid under his locker while it was going on.
Did he say who won the battle?
Josh said he played dead. He didn't say who won. No. Legendary Steelers teams. If either one of you guesses who had one of the two interceptions for the Browns that day, I'll present you with a large sum of money. Limits?
You're saying the game in 99?
Yeah. Two interceptions for Cleveland that day off Cordell.
I know this guy did it a bunch, but I don't think he was there yet. I know Daylon McCutcheon seemed to intercept them all the time back in that era.
That's an unbelievable guess, but I'm sorry to report that it's wrong, Donnie. Limits, anyone?
I have no good guesses.
I wouldn't have guessed this. I could sit here for a million years and guess. Marquez Pope had one, and John Theery, Thierry, had the other, a long-forgotten NFL name.
The theory of the interception.
Okay, listen. If either one of you names the guy who had an interception for the Steelers in the 1999 game, Donnie, don't look at the box score.
Okay, I don't have it up.
Limits, if either one of you names this, I will take you out for a steak dinner at a place of your choice. And you get three guesses if you want. But we can't be taking time.
How about Dwayne Washington?
Another unbelievable guess, but I'm sorry to report that you're wrong, Donnie. Limits, the 99 Steelers.
99, damn.
He was a safety, I believe. That's a clue.
Can I guess while he's waiting, or do we have to go 1v1 here?
He's from San Diego, California. He went to, will I give it away if I say his college? I'll even give you the college.
My second guess was going to be Hank Poteet.
That's another great guess. You are unbelievable at this, but it's wrong, Donnie. I'm sorry to report.
That would have been like 10 years before Ryan Mundy was even on the team, right? An irrelevant pick.
And 5 years before you were born.
How about Big LaVon Kirkland?
Another nice one, Donnie, but I'm sorry to report, no. He was from Weber State. This guy went to Weber State. He had an interception that day and a 15-yard return. A wonderful game for him.
A defensive back, or did he play?
Yeah. Yeah. He was a safety. He actually had 4 picks that year. 5. Oof. 4.
Damian Lillard went to Weber State. 3.
I like that pick, Damian Lillard.
I already gave my 3. I don't know
3.
Who it is.
You get another one if you want. 2. 1.
I don't know.
The great Scott Shields.
Oh, okay. I know that name.
Yeah. He had 4 picks that year, Donnie. Limits, you missed out on a nice steak dinner.
Oh, well. Where would we have gone?
Maybe Roost Chris. Anywhere you want. I'll give you another one today. There's a steak dinner on the line for one of you. I'm going to give you how about this? I'll give
periodic
you
periodic trivia.
Actually, Bob will treat you to any steak of your choice. I'll give you periodic Browns quiz questions through the show.
This will replace the quiz show.
Steelers or Browns questions from the rivalry. And all you have to do is get one, Donnie.
Okay.
And a steak could be yours. How do you like the steak? Medium?
If I'm going to an actual steakhouse, medium rare. If I'm out like just somewhere like random and they ask like, how do you want the steak or burger? I'll go medium just to be safe. But
yeah. Do you crank them up on the grill from time to time?
Yeah, we do. I made a couple over the summer.
What are the sides usually?
Mashed potatoes. We do Brussels sprouts too. I'm a big Brussels sprouts guy.
I don't know why that struck me as funny.
That is like my top food that we're all told as kids is like disgusting.
I know.
And then you have it as an adult, and like Sarah makes like she'll make some sort of like glaze for them.
Right.
And I'm like, these are great.
I'm a Brussels sprout master, Donnie. You didn't know that. I cook them I bake them, not broil them in water or steam them. I bake the little guys. And then I roll them in honey and salt, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. We'll have to have a steak dinner sometime.
I would like that, Joe.
You cook the steaks? I like them well done, and everybody laughs at me when I go to a steakhouse.
Like a hockey puck.
Yeah. They say I ruin the steak that way.
Well done.
Yeah, I do.
It's like shoe leather.
Yeah.
No, medium is the way to go.
My hamburgers I like beyond well done. I like burnt to where there's little black things falling off the burger, and it's really thin, a thin, burnt hockey puck with just cheese on it.
He That's likes the marshmallow like completely on fire so that there's literally no marshmallow left.
I do, Donnie. How did you know that?
What a surprise.
I want to have a bonfire with one marshmallow. I want nothing left of the marshmallow, just a stick with a little bit of white on it. That's
Easton
it.
Stick, the stick figure.
Easton Stick. Has he gotten into a game, Donnie?
Well, he didn't play against the Steelers. They put in Taylor Heinicke.
He was the backup to the backup, though, the stick figure.
Yeah. So now he's getting snubbed, Easton Stick. He hasn't taken a snap all year. It's a Donnie Football Friday. Bob Pompeiani on his way in. We're feeling good. The energy is high. Donnie, during the brief intermission there, told me a little story about his first Steeler game. When was it, Donnie?
It was January of 2003, so the 2002 season. It was the 2002 wild card game, which happened to come against the Cleveland Browns in a game that the Browns in the second half led by 17 points. With about 2.5 minutes to go, they led by 13 points, and the Steelers managed to win the game 36-33 in regulation. Fuamatu Maafala touchdown run.
Yes, it was, to win the game. One of the most incredible games, in fact, that I've ever witnessed, Donnie. They were down, you're right, 24-7. And I have a little story about that game. In fact, I think it's time for story time with Grandpa Joe. Donnie, pull up a chair. Limits, come on up to the fireplace. Would you like a glass of cider or perhaps a cup of hot cocoa?
I'd love some hot cocoa, please.
Marshmallows?
Give me two.
Two. Here's my story, Donnie. Do I have everybody's attention? Story time with Grandpa Joe. First of all, I was in Cleveland that week and interviewed Dennis Northcutt. I identified him as a guy who could be an X factor in this game, and man, was he ever.
That was a good pick.
He made some plays for them, and then he dropped a pass at the end of the game. But here's the story I want to tell my little youngins here. Limits, I need your full attention. At the end of the game, the play to Fu, right, wins them the game.
Yep.
So afterward, I go and I talk to the offensive coordinator, Mike Malarkey, and he tells me how that all went down in the press box. I mean, that's unusual there. Fu was a decent player, but they had some really good players, yeah, and they were making a big comeback. And he told me that Dick Hoke, who was then the running backs coach, legend, right? Dick Hoke, kicked him on the shin before that play and said, this is what we should run here. It was, as I recall, out of a shotgun,
yes,
a handoff to Fu, or was
it? Yes, it was.
Yeah. And he said, Dick Hoke kicked me in the shin and said, you got to run this play. So Malarkey gave credit to Dick Hoke for exactly that play.
And specifically said we have to run it with Fu,
yeah,
instead of Zaraway or Bettis.
I think Fu was in the game for a reason that I can't remember, whether he was supposed to be as a goal line guy, whether somebody was hurt, whatever it was. But yes, this is the play. This is the perfect play. Dick Hoke, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what's wild about Bettis in that game, too? One carry, negative 2 yards.
Yeah, something was wrong there.
Okay.
That's why Fu was in, as I recall. What a game. And again, it's a game I remember differently and more legendarily because it was played in a snow globe. You had snow falling like ticker tape. But let's all move to a dome. Why don't we, Donnie? I'm not going to go off on that again. I can't take that.
It anymore. Really did have it all. Like, I could never go back and ask for a more impressionable game to be my first one. I mean, I was 7 years old.
Oh, I would have been hooked for life, too.
Yeah, I mean, you had snow, you had cold weather, it was a playoff game. Like, you know, not that I knew, I think, the stakes that were on the line. I mean, I knew that the playoffs were obviously important, and what they were playing for ultimately was big.
Yeah.
I still remember the, like, almost exact seats. The last row of section 217, so kind of like a corner end zone. A guy next to me who was probably my age now was there with his dad. The first time, that was also the first big rendition, and they played it twice, of Renegade.
God. That
and
I did not know.
The guy next to me was wearing a Joey Porter jersey. He took off the jersey, so he was shirtless. And this is a guy probably late 20s, early 30s. Again, around my age that I am right now. And a game we did not leave early, which I know many people probably did, probably like that infamous Bills comeback in the wild card round from about a decade earlier than that. That was like my first lesson that my dad taught of, like, I told you, this is why you never leave a game early.
Yes, you never leave a game early. That is a legendary game to go to, Donnie. And here's another little piece of that game. Kendrell Bell played on a bum ankle and was ridiculous in that game, like ridiculous. And I heard just the other night on your show, and you weren't there, Jeff Hathorn was with Alandon Roberts, and Alandon Roberts asked Jeff, who's the hardest hitting Steeler linebacker ever?
Ooh.
And of course, there's great answers to that. He might have said, did he say ever or Reese? I can't remember. Of course, Jack Lambert's one, you know, LaVon Kirkland, James Harrison. I'm going to tell you who it is. And I wanted to text in to Jeff and Alandon, but I was driving on a highway at the time and thought that would have been risky, Don. I'll tell you who it was. Kendrell Bell. And I'll give you a quote. In fact, why don't you pull up again? Another cup of hot cocoa. Story time with Grandpa Joe yet
more
again.
Marshmallows,
yeah,
please.
Two in one segment. The legend of Kendrell Bell. I wrote this piece in January of 21. This is what Larry Foote said about Kendrell Bell. Larry Foote, a guy who's been around coaching now, been around a lot of football, Donnie. He said, I still talk about him to this day. And I always tell people, that is by far the most explosive football player I have ever seen. That's Larry Foote on Kendrell Bell.
It really is wild to me when I go back, and I mean, I do the nerdy thing and I watch back old games. Like, I've watched back this specific game we're talking about plenty since it was the first one, and it's easily accessible now on YouTube.
Yeah.
When I see the plays that Kendrell Bell made.
Oh, my God.
And again, I was young. I can't believe the dude didn't work out. Like, I know
he injured his ankle.
Yeah, I know he won Defensive Rookie of the Year, and then...
He was the first Steelers Defensive Rookie of the Year since Lambert, and then he had a bum ankle, and he never came back from it. I talked to him about it. He just couldn't do it. He couldn't do it anymore. They got rid of him. He went to Kansas City. Chris Hoke, go back and watch the film, bro. He said he'd put linemen on their backs, and Deshae Townsend agreed with Foote, the most explosive football player he's ever seen. He said his nickname was Contact. That's what they called him.
Did you also know about that game that Kelly Holcomb, who had a monstrous game, he had a couple of mistakes in there.
Yeah.
He was making his fourth career start. That game was his fourth career start. He went out there and threw for 429, three touchdowns and a pick.
It was unreal.
He was great. And I mean, the first half, he was as
Bruce
good as,
Arians was the coordinator.
Yeah, he was. And Foge Fazio was their DC.
And Foge Fazio never did forgive Butch Davis for calling off the dogs. Went into kind of a prevent late in that game, and Tommy Maddox ate him alive.
I do feel bad for Northcutt coming out of that game.
Yeah.
Because he, all people remember is the drop. The guy had two touchdown catches, and he had a huge punt return that set up a touchdown.
Horrifying. It's that fine line that Cowher talked about. All right, let's go to the phone lines, Donnie. Who's first? Limits.
All right, let's go to Joe in Katanning.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Enjoy the program. This one is special to me. I'm a big Steeler fan, also a Chicago Bear fan. And, you know, I can relate to T.J. Watt personally. Like, my brother played for the Bears for 13 years and never made a playoff game. And I can just about imagine what T.J. is going through, the suffering and stuff that they have to go through on the off seasons and everything. And it's very disgusting, and I just hope that the Steelers this year can turn this season into one that we can all remember.
Who was your brother, if you don't mind my asking?
Oh, absolutely not. Doug Buffon, number 55. He was drafted in 1966. He played along with Buckus, the three Bs, Ross Brubaker and him. They actually had the number one defense in the league for 2 years in a row. And then, you know, of course, the Bears management, all the promises and stuff, and Doug actually
it was horrible. Of course I know Doug Buffon. My best friend growing up in Buffalo was Tom Cusimano. His favorite team was the Chicago Bears of Doug Buffon and Wally Chambers and Roland Harper and Walter Payton, but they never had a quarterback. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? They never had a quarterback. Their quarterback was Bob Avellini, for God's sakes. It was ridiculous.
You know, I think you probably realize that, you know, in the first year that when they drafted Bobby Douglas, they had a chance to get Bradshaw, and they passed on him.
Not a good move there, Donnie, was it?
No.
You have Bradshaw.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it is. You have Bradshaw on the table, and you take Bobby Douglas. Bad move them.
Yeah,
that was their very own Kenny Pickett back then.
I was going to say the Greg Oden, Kevin Durant.
Yeah, that's not good. Next.
Here is Dominic. He's in Vegas.
Hello, Dominic.
Hey, good morning. How we doing?
I can't speak for Donnie. Oh, he just spoke for himself. He's great, and so am I.
Good. Good. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about, I really do think this is the Steelers' window right now, and I really think the next four games here are going to give us a really clear picture of what they're going to do in the playoffs. I wanted to say, though, I really feel like this is their year. I think they can definitely beat the Chiefs. I think they can beat the Bills. Other than on the other side of the NFL, I mean, the Lions are the only most complete team other than the Steelers, in my opinion, this year.
So you don't
have, they really have all the pieces.
You don't have any fear even of the Bills in the AFC?
I do have fear of the Bills a little bit. I think that'd be their toughest challenge in the AFC, honestly, other than the Chiefs. But I think they match up pretty well with them. I think last year, too, they got a little taste of them. They weren't as prepared as last year to go in. But I think this year, I think Tomlin really has them prepared. I don't know if you guys have seen any of the HBO Hard Knocks. The way he pulled Pickens over after he got ripped down on that pick six and told him this won't define us, I think he has his team motivated. I think they're clicking on all cylinders, honestly.
Thank you, sir. Who do you think is the favorite right now in the AFC?
The Bills.
Yeah, over the Chiefs.
See, and I'm somebody who once, if you're, are you asking what does Vegas actually think or what
no, who,
do I think?
What
once
do you think?
To,
who's the team to beat?
I still think it is the Chiefs,
so
if you're asking me that. I didn't know if you meant the actual Vegas odds, but
yeah.
Once we get to January, people can jump on the grave of the Chiefs all they want. You know, they can dance around because people started to do it last year, if you don't recall. We get to January, and until a team takes out Patrick Mahomes, I'm not going to – he's like Michael Myers.
Man, it's
he
all –
he ain't dead until right. You make sure of it.
It's all different in the playoffs. It is. It reminds me of hockey when, you know, suddenly when you're in a series, and I know it's one game in football, but when you're in a series, it's not like you're playing, you know, a team on a random back-to-back night in February when, for example, they get 10 seconds to scout your special teams and things like that. Once you get to January and January football, especially if the Chiefs have time off to prepare for week one, because usually they only, not last year, but usually they only have to win one game to get to the championship, the AFC championship. Then you got to deal with Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo sitting down and breaking you down like no other coaching duo can do, quite frankly, in the NFL. And then you got to deal with the big boy. You got to deal with Patrick Mahomes, probably on his home field, where even if you're beating him for a while, if you so much as dare to make that a one possession game, there's a really good chance he's going to beat you in the end. So you're going to face an unbelievably well-prepared team with a great plan and an all-time great quarterback who's still in his prime on their home field. They are, in to me, as long as they keep that number one seed, indisputably the team to beat.
Yeah, I mean, and not to mention with them that you mentioned the extra rest and they're another team where, okay, you can call it luck all you want and they're skating by a little bit and you can make comparisons to maybe like the 2020 Steelers. But again, they do have the real difference maker once it gets to the postseason. There's a reason why there's only one active quarterback who has ever knocked Mahomes off the perch in January.
Wonder Twin, Chiefs the team to beat still?
They deserve the benefit of the doubt because they've won back-to-back Super Bowls, but I want to give it to Buffalo. I think Josh Allen is just playing at a superhuman level better than anyone in football right now. Their defense, I have a little bit of concerns about, but with Allen going the way that he is, I just can't say that anyone's going to stop him unless it's the Detroit Lions and they're in the other conference.
Speaking of them, as we get ready for Ray Fittipaldo at the top of the hour and Bob Pompeiani on his way in here for a Donnie Football Friday, 50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And you can listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. What did you make of Dan Campbell, Mr. Kneecap himself, going for it from his own 30 with a lead in the game and getting stopped in Green Bay scoring a touchdown, and then going for it when he had seemingly had the game in hand at the end, a chip shot field goal. He goes for it on 4th-and-1, risking overtime or risking the Packers going down the field and winning it right then. And instead, they go for it, they get the first down, and they win the game. What did you make of this guy?
That dude's got some marbles, and you may want to use another term with him, but I love Dan Campbell. I think that he will eventually knock Mike Tomlin off that perch. You know, every year the players do a poll of like who they most want to play for. I think Dan Campbell is quickly ascending to the top there. because that dude just seems like an epic coach all the way around, and he deserves a ton of credit because early on it looked like same old Lions. People laughed at the quotes, and now we ain't laughing so much because the Lions look like the best team in football.
Yeah.
But the one thing I'll say is that sometimes, and I know it worked for them last night, but sometimes you're going to be in those situations where you should just kick the field goal.
I know
that it worked last night, but
yeah.
You think back to the NFC Championship game
right.
last year, and it could very well end up losing them a big game.
I respect Dan Campbell for literally never veering from. I'm expecting the guy to go for it, you know, 4th and 15 from his own
five. It's like playing a kid in Madden.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Oh man, I don't know if he's going to actually punt.
It's the NFC title game, first quarter. They're 4th and 20 from their own one. He's going to go for it. He does it. That's what he does. I do give him credit for that. But I agree with you 100%. There's times where you got to dial it back. And I don't know that last night was one. I compared both those situations to Mike Tomlin trying an onside kick when he was ahead late in the game. I still believe, unless someone can prove me differently, this was Ben against Aaron Rodgers a long time ago. The game where Mike Wallace had the walk-off TD. Neither team could stop each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Mike Tomlin is the only coach in the history of the league to attempt an onside kick with a lead in the last 8 minutes of a game. I really do. And he defended it later by essentially saying we couldn't stop him. And I figured even if they get the onside kick, which they did, Rodgers would score and we would go down and have a chance at least at the end. And that's exactly what happened. It was crazy, but I defended it then and I still do. That's what this was. It was Campbell saying, we have no defense right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have 8 guys injured. We can't stop them. So we got to win the game now. I respect that. But to your point, last year in the NFC title game, it's funny you said that because I just looked it up when this topic came up. He was 4th and 2 at the Niners, 28, midway through the third quarter with a 24-10 lead. Take the field goal. Take the field goal. And then later.
Plus there, like in that instance, you're going to go up 3 scores. It's no longer just a 2-score game.
Exactly. Just take the field goal.
Yeah.